What's the deal with this?
Deal? What are you saying?
Deal.
Deal?
I don't see what the big deal is, you know? It's not that great.
Good deal. You won't regret it.
What's the deal, son? What do you have going?
All right, look, here's the deal.
What do you say we make this deal?
What makes an ideal retail location? And how is big data impacting retailers? How are retailers responding to changes in the market? We'll answer those questions and more on the Real Estate Innovators. I'm your host, Ryan Cox, Managing Partner at Founders Grove Capital. And welcome to the Real Estate Innovators, the podcast that explores innovation in commercial real estate with technology, design, and development. We celebrate the companies and innovators who are changing the business of commercial real estate and are inspiring the future of how we work, live, and play. Imagine that you are driving by a retail location that looks great. But the previous tenants all failed painfully one right after another. The location had great access and visibility. Demographics couldn't be beat. Foot and drive-by traffic were impressive, and the broker assured you that it was a great location. Maybe you could be the lucky one to break the curse. How much do you want luck to play a role in the success of your business? Old-school site location services use demographics and complex models to figure out trade areas, but big data analytics are changing the state of many industries, and IdealSpot is bringing the use of data analytics to site location. Today on the Real Estate Innovators, I'll be talking with Mark Smukler, the founder and CEO of IdealSpot. IdealSpot helps retailers, commercial real estate service providers, and landlords find and evaluate their ideal locations by mapping retail demand through search and social platforms. For instance, when and where are people signaling that they want or need a retailer's product or service? IdealSpot captures this signaled interest and intent and maps it against current competitors and market to find the gaps or opportunities. Let's find out from Mark how the idea for IdealSpot came to be.
Somebody in my network, they pitched me on doing a test of Zillow for commercial real estate. And as I'm sure most people know, Zillow for commercial real estate isn't really a new concept. There are a number of places that people can go to see listings or inventory of availability in a market, and also to get a bunch of sort of basic stats on, you know, lease rates, rent rates, et cetera. Obviously, we all know LoopNet, CoStar, et cetera. There used to be Excelligent as of a few months ago. But just driving down, any street, you can see, you know, for lease signs, people can reach out to a broker, et cetera. So there's really not that much pain in terms of, you know, what is available and finding a location. You know, the pain point, you know, in the early concept was, you know, just determining, hey, if I want to open up a restaurant, a bar, a hot yoga studio, whether it's my first location or I have multiple locations, and trying to understand, you know, what is a good location for me? You know, where should I place? Is it this neighborhood or that neighborhood? And to really set yourself up for having an ideal location for where your business is going to be. So the early concept of IdealSpot was really around helping people determine, again, giving them, you know, a basic understanding of, hey, this location is better than that location. And so we sort of kicked off from there. We did a bunch of early tests and we started snowballing. And then we went through a pretty large pivot, I want to say about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago now. We went away from trying to be sort of predictive of the future, right? And putting on, you know, taking the crystal ball approach and trying to figure out, okay, your revenue is going to be X, or this location is going to be, you know, more successful for you. And we turned our sights onto really helping people paint the picture or getting an idea for a snapshot or looking into what's happening in a local retail market at that time. And we went down this path, and it's sort of a, you know, a long discovery process through this, but really can't be predictive. Really can't see the future, right? Nobody really can see the future. And so trying to productize that and trying to kick off a company with that isn't really sustainable. And we thought we could, and we thought we could nail down a lot of the pieces of the model. And the more layers that you try to peel away, you know, the more times that you ask a retailer to rank a store manager or put in how many parking spots they have, or try to, you know, rank, you know, each of their locations, you know, is this a, you know, how are the out, you know, how is it outfitted? How is it built out? You know, the Yelp reviews, all the things that can impact the success of a location. It's really hard to model. And so trying to get to the head or trying to get into the operations and trying to predict how well they're going to operate a business is just really impossible. So again, we turned our focus or our sights on to helping people just understand, you know, again, as they're looking at a couple different locations or neighborhoods or cities, which ones are ripe for what it is that they're selling.
There are a little over 28 million businesses in the United States, many of which are retailers. We asked Mark, how are most of these businesses going about choosing a location for their site today?
What we found, at least for the people that we've worked with, and again, this is just my opinion, but you know, when it came to the first location or the second location, I mean, typically people have a pretty good knowledge or intimate knowledge of, you know, whether it's going to work or not because they're from that area or they have an idea like, hey, this area really needs X, Y, or Z, and I'm the one to do that. Right now, a lot of people fail, obviously, but again, that's their neighborhood. They have a really good sense, or they know the area, or they know the market very well, or they know the people, and they say, okay, God, we really need a whatever, a bar here, whatever it might be, right? So it's very easy for them to go with their gut for the first or second location. But as people sort of expand and get more successful and they go away from their areas of expertise, you know, they have less of that ability to go with their gut. And they need to backfill that. They need to raise their confidence level with something else, right? And that's when people start turning to, you know, in the past, they've been turning to consultants or services, or they work with a broker that tries to mimic what they've done as they get further afield, right? So that's typically what they have done, right? And then they start getting into these models of trying to, again, predict success based on trying to find similar neighborhoods with similar makeup based on people's identities or demographics. And as we're seeing now, as you know, as the retail markets start becoming more sophisticated in terms of our optionality, right? So, you know, in pitches at ICSC, et cetera, you know, we talk about this ability that, hey, you know, I'm a father of two little boys and, you know, just short 5 years ago, for me to go get diapers, I had to hop in the car and I had to drive 15 minutes to a Target to buy diapers, right? And I had to deal with, you know, taking, you know, my kids through the toy section at Target and dealing with all of that, you know, that difficulty in getting there and getting those diapers. Now I have the ability to go on Amazon Prime Now and getting those same diapers delivered to me, albeit, you know, I pay a little bit more, but that convenience is worth it to me. Mm-hmm. Same thing with the likes of Instacart and Uber Eats or any of these other services that that give me such a different, you know, view and it has created such different purchasing behaviors for me as a consumer that now I'm led by convenience, right? I get what I want when I need it, wherever I am. And so with this increased, you know, optionality in terms of, you know, purchasing, you know, people's behaviors have changed. And so you have to be more focused on where the demand is and where people need or want something. And so, you know, this huge change has created a lot of issues with a lot of retailers that have, you know, basically have been building and they'll come. And I know we all say, you know, location, 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 but so many retailers focus on, you know, hey, let's find an inexpensive place, you know, out in the middle, or let's create a retail corridor with an anchor like a Walmart out here, whatever it might be, and people just aren't forced to have to drive that far anymore. So coming back to answer your question, and sorry for meandering here a little bit, but you know, the industry for many years has been fixated on trying to, you know, look at these data sets that were available to them, which were demographics, you know, the psychographics and, you know, some basic traffic counts, to try to help them paint a picture of similarity between, okay, we have a good location, let's try to find similar areas based on the identity of a populace in an area. And what we know obviously is, you know, intent, purchase intent is obviously more important than identity. And, you know, one of the fallacies that they make, right, in trying to map and model based on people's identity, and I'm not saying identity is important, but you know, you're in the growth assumption that, you know, everybody has the same wants and needs based on what they are, I should say who they are, right? So I'm a 41-year-old guy in Austin, Texas, right, with a certain amount of income and education. But, you know, you don't know basically, you know, from my demographic profile or from my identity that I'm a vegetarian, right? That I suck at golf, right? I don't like doing yoga, right? But that's unique to me, right? And that doesn't mean that every single 41-year-old that looks like me has the same wants and needs. And so that's where I think a lot of retailers are getting trapped right now. And as people have more options to purchase, those mistakes are becoming even more and more clear, and it's hurting them more and more.
Anemic mall traffic, an aggressive promotional environment, and the steep investments in tech have all been cited as the primary challenges facing the retail industry. To the casual observer, and against the backdrop of several store closure announcements, it may have seemed as if the retail space was entering a death spiral. But in the vibrant middle and small market, home to many of the emerging concepts in retail, the unrest at the top just represents another phase of a transition, years in the making. Mark weighed in on this transition and the retailer's focus on the customer experience.
It's interesting. I mean, there's been some articles over the past, you know, few years that I've read, whether it's on Bloomberg or some of these retail publications, about how retailers, we're seeing, again, I mean, obviously you have the convenience angle, but there is a return back to this quality of the shopping experience. And you know, if somebody's creating a great shopping experience, right? And we're talking about quality of product, you know, serviceability, you know, personalized service, et cetera. You know, we're seeing people provide really good service and using that to grow. I mean, we have, you know, Warby Parker is a good example of having a really good shopping experience, a much better unique experience than walking into just a standard LensCrafters. And they're doing really well with this mix of, you know, the quality of the experience and their use of data, like what types of products in what market, et cetera, and where they should be. And so, you know, I think that there are opportunities for small businesses and neighborhood retailers to be very convenient and to provide a really good quality shopping experience for some of these people. And there just frankly are some products and services that are better purchased at a store. I mean, I know, you know, the rise of Zappos and whatnot, but it's not ideal buying shoes online because you don't know how they'll fit, right? Same with glasses, same with picking out a steak, right? Instacart, you know, helps me a lot in shopping, but, you know, you always roll the dice on what types of produce and meat you're going to get from Instacart. It's not me picking it out. But for me to, you know, get my quality meats that, you know, my wife requires at Whole Foods, right? I mean, that's just, it's not convenient to me. So we have to roll the dice with Instacart. But if they were more close to me in my neighborhood, or they're on the path of me going home from work, you know, it'd be easier for me to just jump in there and pick out exactly what I want or need.
When you boil it all down, Amazon is winning because of its obsessive focus on pleasing its customers. From the second a customer begins their search for a product to the time of delivery, the entire retail ecosystem is reevaluating their go-to-market strategy. The industry is leveraging new technologies to deliver unique and compelling customer experiences while using data to make decisions to create sustainable business models. IdealSpot is in a unique position to aid in the retailer's quest to optimize for customer experience.
You know, obviously, you know, site selection is perfectly in our wheelhouse. But, you know, as we talk about it, and as we're now have over 13,000 registered users on our platform, I mean, it's a mixed bag of the types of industries and people that we work with. And we really talk about, you know, what is the retail ecosystem? What does it contain? And, you know, obviously, you know, when we capture intent or a signal to purchase intent, right? So what IdealSpot is really known for is mapping and modeling signal purchase intent for products and services, right? So if somebody, you know, types into their Google Maps, you know, find a coffee, you know, shop near me, or, you know, yoga near me, or those types of searches, or on Facebook, you know, you've been categorized as somebody that likes barbecue food, right? So we help, you know, basically everybody within the retail ecosystem understand where demand is for their product and service. So coming back to the retail ecosystem, you know, when somebody signals that they want a cup of coffee near them, you know, the obvious thing again is obviously, you know, helping, you know, the coffee shop owner understand where that, you know, aggregated demand is. But that trickles down to a lot of different types of industries, right? So we work with banks, helping them understand, you know, where is demand, or more specifically to them, we help them understand risk related to lending to these coffee shops, right? So helping them answer the question, hey, before we loan or before we provide capital to this business owner, how do we know that there's demand in this market for what it is that they're selling? We work with developers and owners and helping them understand, is a coffee shop an ideal tenant or part of the ideal tenant mix for this location? We work with a lot of brokers and broker agencies, helping them create a sales narrative around, hey, do we need to lease this location for a coffee shop? Or is this a really good location for a coffee shop? And is this part of how we pitch them or how we get them sold on this location? And then, of course, there's the supply chain and last mile services that we work with as well, helping them understand where is demand for parts in their supply chain, or what about delivery, right? The rise of these delivery services like Amazon Prime Now. You know, what products need to be in this market for quicker delivery? What's the demand, or what are people wanting and needing in this market so that we can get products to them, you know, quicker?
As IdealSpot is helping their clients create a better consumer experience, I asked Mark about the experience IdealSpot is creating for its clients.
Go through just a really quick sign-up process where it asks them a few questions about who they are and their business. And we immediately start delivering them, you know, actionable insights and data, and some of it for free, right? So we're a freemium model where they can get some basic demographic, some basic psychographic information about their area, et cetera. And then from there, we ask them, hey, if you want additional data or more differentiated data or insights, you know, you can upgrade your account or you can buy a report. And today, you know, a basic report is as cheap as $100 for them to get some really good insights into their local neighborhood or their markets that they're looking at. You know, they can buy a bundle of reports or they can subscribe and just get unlimited access to our data sets and our insights. And there's a couple different pieces of our quote unquote product that we have. So as it relates to the data component, we have the raw siloed data, you know, where we have, you know, millennials and the growth of millennials. We have, you know, retail spending, the traffic counts, all of that stuff. We have the individual pieces of data themselves. The next step that we have is the merging of those data sets. So, you know, how does intent and identity relate, right? How does what's the correlation, the you know, the regression analysis, the competitive landscape, you know, all of that stuff as we start building the storyline of retail in that area. And then we have a lot of customized components. And so that's, you know, the data part, but in terms of the visualization and helping people, work with the data, you know, we deploy the data a number of different ways. We can visualize it via a map or heat maps. We can, you know, give people charts and graphs and you know, you can download it to a CSV. We even have an API for some of our larger partners. And the point being, you know, okay, here's the best curated retail data set. And how do you want to interact with it? And so again, I mean, we have a really easy platform for people to sign up, get started, and a pretty, you know, democratized way for them to get data and insights.
Jack Welch, the famous former CEO of GE, once said, "An organization's ability to learn and to translate that learning into action rapidly is the ultimate competitive advantage." I asked Mark about the challenges that face IdealSpot and differentiating in the retail business.
Sure. I mean, there are competitors. There's a number of companies that focus on different pieces of it, right? And so, you know, from our opinion, it's, you know, we've pushed sort of all in on this concept of helping people understand, you know, signaled purchase intent and where that's happening or geolocated demand. We believe that that's important, and that's unique to us. Some other people might believe, you know, that the most important signal of data are, you know, mobile device tracking, but which we have that as well, or, you know, credit card purchases, or some people, you know, want, you know, predictive data. They want somebody to tell them, you know, how successful they'll be at a location, right? And of course, I have an opinion on that, And so some people believe that they can solve that problem of, you know, all the variability of a, of the operations of a business, right? And so there are services out there that do, or that will provide a bespoke model and tell you, hey, choose site A over site B because you're going to get more revenue there. Mm-hmm. And so we see a lot of these people, especially with the buzzwords of AI and machine learning, which are important in a lot of industries, like, you know, somebody using an Alexa to turn on their music and light their room. I mean, it's perfectly fine. But I think when there's a lot of variables, like in business, it's really hard to lock down a lot of those pieces. So, and I mean, there's a number of competitors and old, you know, industry, you know, technology companies like Esri that provide siloed data. And there are, you know, companies out there like Buxton and Form Analytics, which was acquired by CBRE. And then we have a number of upstarts or startups like ourselves that are, you know, also coming in and looking at it from, you know, the, you know, using machine learning to help predict, you know, data. Or there's providers out there that are trying to, you know, uncover unique sets of data. Uber Retail, for instance, is really focused on trying to map, you know, the passing of individuals based on mobile devices, right? And so again, I mean, there's definitely a lot of competitors out there, and we have our take on the industry, and we're moving forward with that.
Retail has been called turbulent and transformative, but surprisingly healthy going into 2018. I asked Mark for his take on the market.
Again, I talk about this in a number of our pitches, and actually one of our pitches we had over at Google, we were selected or invited by Google to pitch at their conference last June, one of their investor conferences. And in of all places, you know, to talk about the death of retail, that was clearly one of them, right, in Silicon Valley. So it was an interesting sort of contrarian pitch where we said, look, you know, the slide I think was, you know, long, retail is dead, long live retail, which is sort of, you know, the king is dead, long live the king. Look, I mean, retail's not going anywhere, right? It's definitely changed, right? Whether there's a physical location or just a distribution center. So, you know, the lines have blurred a little bit, but there is still retail. And I think people have to stop, you know, looking at it with, you know, brick and mortar, right? Or just being, you know, physical versus, you know, an online. I think those are just blurry. And I think you have retailers that are now, you know, just becoming distribution centers. I mean, I was just talking last night with a large sandwich chain who's also invested in a company called Tiff's Treats down here in Texas that just got a whole slug of money, I think, from Morgan Stanley to expand. And they're an exceptional cookie delivery service. And it's not really about the retail location, right? Because not that many people come in to buy the cookies. It's more about their delivery service, right? And so it's really a question of, look, you know, instead of having multiple brick and mortar mortar stations, just, you know, why not just have one large kitchen and shipping these cookies in all of these, you know, local markets across the United States. And so again, I think people just need to look, you know, look further than just the four walls of a location, and retail is expanding. That said, as relates to the four walls, you know, for every, you know, unfortunate story around retailers like, you know, Payless or Toys R Us or Sears or Radio Shack or some of these brands that, you know, just didn't keep up with the times and, you know, had these antiquated locations and models. Yeah, I mean, they were too far gone and they didn't keep up. But there are also a lot of really cool, you know, retailers that are doing some awesome stuff that are expanding. And I mean, the obvious one is, you know, Amazon is doing some really great stuff, launching the next versions of the grocery store, the furniture store, even the bookstore. I mean, we see a lot of clicks to bricks retailers like Warby Parker, ModCloth, you know, the beta stores that are doing some cool stuff. Starbucks is expanding. I mean, there's tons of examples out there in the marketplace of people, you know, coming at the market in new ways to win market share. And I think it's not the death of retail, but I think we are definitely going through a realignment, if you would call it.
Retail is in a transformative period, moving in two extremes. One is convenience and efficiency, and the other is experience. Let's get Mark's thoughts on this transformation.
A lot of, you know, again, this transformation of retail. And so that drives a lot of people to come to us to, you know, say, hey, how do we deal with this change? Or how do we change our business, et cetera? Or how do we react more to a local market or being more receptive to what's happening in these local markets, right? And again, I'm talking beyond site selection, right? I'm talking about, you know, should we re-lease this location? Should we move? You know, we have use cases of helping retailers, you know, market better to their local communities. You know, we work with a pizza chain, helping them, you know, revitalize their locations just by helping them understand what they should show on the TV, right? So this location should show international soccer games because there's a lot of people looking for international soccer TV game in this area, right? Helping, you know, movie theater chain understand what movies to show in what markets, helping grocery chains understand how to do a layout in a store and how that differs from market to market, right? This market has more demand for organic food, or this market has more demand for kosher food versus, you know, their typical location. So they should change their end caps, right? And so, again, I mean, you know, as we see this across the market, you know, across the United States, I mean, we're seeing a lot of movement, and that's sort of creating a frothy environment for us to help them, honestly.
Global retail is growing at an average annual rate of 6% over the last 5 years. Over the same period, the U.S. saw growth of over 4%. I asked Bart what's got him excited about the coming year.
I think we're in an expansion phase. I don't necessarily want to attribute that to any of the political players or anything necessarily. But I think that we're seeing people are getting frothy on their side. And I think real estate is starting to finally accept some more technology to help them make some decisions. And so, we see it as boom times on our side, and we're seeing a lot of, you know, activity and demand. And so it's exciting for us. And we're in a heavy expansion mode ourselves. And so, you know, 2018 is going to be a fun year. In terms of what's coming next for Ideal Spot, we're sort of becoming the go-to source for, you know, the retail ecosystem, and it's exciting. And we're trying to, as much as we can, merge data sets and provide these storylines of retail for different parts of the channel. And it's really fun and interesting for us as scientists ourselves. And so while we're not using, you know, our data engineers to try to predict the future, I mean, we are using them to, you know, merge data sets and do correlation models and to paint pictures of what's happening in local markets and providing these, you know, these storylines and providing people with actionable insights and data. And so we will be focused on that more and more as we sort of kick off into 2018. It's a really exciting product roadmap. Because, I mean, again, the product's built, we have product market fit, and now it's about making it better.
As technology continues to infiltrate our lives, I asked Mark what new technology is making an impact on his life today.
You know, one of my companies that, and my wife runs it, is we own, Saki Social, which is the largest retailer of Japanese sake in the U.S. here online. We use Shopify for the store. And I'm a huge fan of Shopify. I have been for many years. And I think as you see more and more of this blurring lines between, you know, online and offline, these technologies that sort of help both, you know, brick and mortar retailers expand, you know, online and to ship out of an existing store and use in their storefront as more of a distribution center to expand online. And even online retailers launching a brick and mortar location and integrating, you know, both properties, both online and offline properties with, you know, integrated POS systems and, you know, again, you know, interacting with some of these really cool, interesting, you know, ship compliant technologies. I think it's just, there's a lot of enabling technologies to, again, help people be more efficient in retail. And it's really exciting to me to see a lot of this stuff happening at light speed and really transforming this retail space pretty quickly. And so, you know, for me as a technologist, it's cool. I mean, I'm geeking out. I think a lot of this stuff is awesome. And so, again, I think all this stuff is going to be merging, and you're just going to have I don't know. I mean, like, even to look at Bonobos, I mean, it's just a storeroom for all of their online stuff, right? For all of their, you know, distribution center. I don't know. It's just a lot of really cool stuff happening. So,
and that concludes our show. We will keep an eye out for Ideal Spot's growth amongst the changing face of retail in 2018. You can find out more about Mark and Ideal Spot in the show notes. Please subscribe to the Real Estate Innovators and leave a review wherever you subscribe to podcasts, which helps us grow our audience. You can find out more about me and Founders Grove Capital at foundersgrovecapital.com. Until next time, innovators.